go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
It's a great pleasure to have back with us Dr. Stephen Blank. He is a senior fellow with the American Foreign Policy Council, an outstanding and highly regarded professor in the Military War College system, both at the Army War College and the Air War College in the past. He has been prolific in both his periodical literature publications and in terms of his published books. He has a forthcoming one, eagerly awaited, in which he has edited, entitled Russian Military in Perspective. He's one of our go-to guys when the topic turns to Russia, and there's a lot to talk about on that subject these days. Dr. Blank, welcome back. It's so good to have you.
Thank you, Frank. It's good to be back.
So we've had of late a series of developments of concern, and I'd like to just go through them quickly with you. Of course, there's the ongoing saga about what the Russians have done and with what effect in terms of interfering with our election. This has resulted in sanctions being adopted again by the Congress now, overwhelmingly bipartisan and so on, to which Vladimir Putin has responded by dispatching a number of our diplomats from Russia, sort of classic Cold War tit for tat. Give us a status report, if you would, Dr. Blank, on the U.S.-Russian relationship and where you think it goes from here.
Well, the relationship is obviously very bad. Both sides have now engaged in tit for tat actions, and there's a possibility that the Trump administration will retaliate for the Russian action, which was a retaliation for what President Obama did and for the sanctions legislation. So there is the possibility of that, although I don't think that's too great. There is ongoing recovery of military capability by NATO, slowly, but enough to get Russia very anxious about that. There are the threats of Russian military action against Ukraine, where they have built up a lot of forces and where they constantly violate the Minsk II agreements, and potentially in Belarus. At the end of August and early September, they will be doing an exercise called Zapad, that means West, 2017, in Belarus. All signs point to a very large force, far larger than is agreed to in international accords on the size of the exercising force. And there is the threat that they may stay behind in Belarus and essentially occupy the country. They've said they're not going to do that. Scope of the exercises is far and above what is normally called for, and it shows that militarily, at least, they still think in terms of large theater wars in Europe.
Stephen Blank, one of the things that has, of course, put all of this in sharp relief this past week has been the travels to the region of Vice President Michael Pence, notably in Estonia and Georgia, two countries very much feeling the hot breath of the Russian bear on their backs, I guess one might say. Indeed, one of the things that has come up in the wake of the Vice President's travels and his affirmation of the U.S. commitment to Article 5 of the NATO treaty, which commits us to come to the defense of a NATO ally like Estonia, but also his recalling what happened to the Georgians when the Russians moved against them a while back. Do you anticipate that what's going on in Belarus this September is really, putting into place the means by which the Russians could, in fact, operate against the Estonians and perhaps others in the Baltic states?
Well, if they were to do that, they would certainly be able to outflank either Ukraine or the Baltic states, and they'd be directly on the border of Poland as well. I happen to think that they will not do that because I think they cannot afford to take on another war. Belarusians might fight. They don't really have enough troops to fight Ukraine, occupy Belarus, and do everything else they're supposed to do. So I'm cautiously optimistic about this. I think that's important. But the issue is not just the use of direct military force. The vice president is also going to Montenegro. And in Montenegro, the Russians contracted with Serbian right-wing elements to attempt the coup d'etat to kill the government leader, and overthrow the government and keep Montenegro out of NATO. So the real threat that Russia poses is not just military. It's a combination of non-military and military forces. I mean, it's the kinds of things they did to in our election campaign last year, and which they've done in Europe this year against the French presidential elections, the Dutch elections. They're doing it in Germany. So is that they orchestrate a series of pressures using every instrument in the book, including military threats. NATO can deter the conventional and even nuclear threats that the Russians pose, but it has to do better with stopping the information warfare, the use of organized crime and of money laundering, the corrupt Western institutions and politicians.
You've given a lot of thought to this and studied closely over the years successive Kremlin leaders, including, of course, Vladimir Putin, Dr. Stephen Blank. What's making him tick? As you say, there is a peculiar quality to all of this. His economy is in the tank. The resources available to him to engage in this kind of aggressive behavior is finite. And yet he is massively building up his nuclear forces. He is engaging in this sort of asymmetric form of aggression as well as more conventional ones. What's his ambition as you see it at the moment?
Well, the beginning of wisdom in this business is that anyone who wants to study Russia, either casually or professionally, needs to understand you're dealing with a completely different society and culture, and that it can only be studied in its own terms. It cannot be evaluated in terms of American categories of political thinking and thought. Your question posed at them, to an American, what he's doing seems utterly irrational. In the context of Russian political culture and the Russian system, it makes perfect sense. He is, above all, determined to stay in power and to force the West to accept Russia as a great power, that is basically to restore some form of imperial control over the former Soviet territories, and to do so on Russia's terms. Economics in this context is essentially a servant of a political and strategic objective. The idea of a freely operating market is almost like the dark side of the moon to these people. They don't understand the idea of a self-regulating market, or even a regulated market, like we and the Europeans have. Freedom to them is a fundamental threat, both psychologically and materially, because it would mean that their money and power would be stripped away from them. The idea of a rule of law is also completely foreign to their experience and mental makeup. So again, it's a threat. So first of all, that has to be understood. Second, his ambitions are not only to stay in power and be able to continue to exploit the Russian economy, and for that matter, the global economy, for his and his entourage's benefit, it's also to restore Russia as a great power, which means as an empire in the former Soviet space, if possible beyond, and to force others to accept it at that status.
Yeah. Very quickly, lastly, Stephen Blank, is Putin in some jeopardy of losing power at the moment? There's a lot of talk about restiveness across the country from economic considerations as well as political concerns and corruption and so on. Is that, in fact, a serious concern for him?
You know, I don't think so, but he's obviously frightened of, because if you look at what the Russians have done domestically for the last several years, this is obviously a regime that is very frightened of its own people, extremely frightened. And as a result, you see a whole series of repressive measures for which we don't have time now coming into effect. But just look at the recent legislation on the Internet, trying to isolate Russia from the global Internet, creating paramilitaries at home whose mission is to protect the state.
Ominous signs for the people of Russia, and perhaps a signal to us as well. We have to leave it at that. Dr. Stephen Blank at the American Foreign Policy Council, your insights are tremendously appreciated by us here. Come back to us again, if you would, very soon. Michael Rowan will join us next. We'll talk about Venezuela, the latest there, what the United States should be doing about the coming catastrophe in Venezuela. Straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.